Hello everybody, I'm Jure, and I'm going to talk about why I hacked my school. So first, some more about me. As I said, I'm Jure Groenendijk. I'm a 15-year-old teenager from the Netherlands. I have a twin brother who's not here at the moment because he's not as much into technology as I am. And I'm in the fourth grade. I do VWO bilingual. So what drives me to do what I do? I want to know how a system works. I want to see the system. I want to know how does it work and can I get around it. So to do that, I do multiple things, which is breaking and making stuff. So on the left here, you can see me with multiple devices that I got from the flea market, which I then soldered apart to see if I can get a UART on it. And on the right, you can see me soldering together on a mini console thing. So it all started out a few years ago at the Plus class, which was a class for people who were different than the rest. So it was in primary school, about sixth grade. And it all started out there in learning Scratch, where you could move little blobs to make a little program where you could make your character do stuff. And after that, we went on to Basic, even quite Basic. After that, we went on to Codecademy, which is a website where you can learn to program using little challenges. So here you can see an example of such a challenge. So on line 3, it says, set my into to 7. And on line 8, it says you need to set it to 4, so I didn't set it to 7 minus 3. Another site I use for that is Certified Secure, so that's where I learned to hack. Certified Secure is a great website for learning to hack, so it starts out with stuff like what's HTTP, how does a web page work, and then it moves on to how does bot traversal work, how does SQL injection work, and then it gives you a website that you need to like get into yourself. And in the end, you also learn how to secure your own website. So another one of these things I did with that is to program hardware. So here you see a Digispark, which is an Arduino with a keyboard module on it. So I use it as a keyboard to, for example, when a friend pissed me off, I just sent I'm a leak hacker 1,000 times per second crashing their phone. Or when I was playing cookie clicker, I would let it click 1,000 times per second, so I'd get a lot of cookies. Another one of my project was the remote control, but it is not just any remote control. It's a remote control steroid, known as a TV Be Gone. So what that would do is it would send off signals to all the televisions in about a 100-meter radius. So we went to a TV store and watched employees pull out their hair as the TVs turned off one by one. So then you might wonder, that sounds like a fun prank. What if I were to adjust my grades as a prank? You know, just look over the shoulder of a teacher and then see his password and then enter it at home and then, hey, yeah, this biology test I fucked up. What about if I change that to a 10? However, I don't think school would like that and neither would the law, because then you'd be stuck with either a jail time of 4 years or $20,500 fine, or a euro fine, my bad. Or, well, since I'm a teenager, it would be 4,000. But still, that's a lot of money, and you don't want to pay that. So the process of responsible disclosure, or white hat hacking, is usually the step one is to get approval. So okay, so step one would be to get approval, which you usually do via responsible disclosure. So in my case, I just went to the headmaster and said, hi, can I hack the school? And for some weird reason, he was like, yeah, sure. Then you go and test around, see what you can do, if you can find anything, any vulnerability. And after that, you, of course, report it. Usually that happens by email or just visit them or whatever. And after that, they fix it, which, by the way, can take a long time. So you need to be careful to not go brag around like, hey, I found this and this, while it's not fixed, because then people can use it against you or against this business that you're working with. And they've also broken the responsible disclosure deals. So after that, it's optional that you get a reward. So I personally don't do it for the reward myself. I will explain in a later slide. And after that, the school can disclose it, or whatever company you're working with. You can say, hey, this guy helped us solve a problem. And then after that, you can disclose it, say, hey, I helped this organization solve a problem. Also, there's another arrow here that doesn't fit with the explanation that I just said. That's because if I were hacking a company and like I haven't found anything in months, I would just go back to see if I like if I still have all the permissions. Because, for example, in those 4 months, they had another issue with a black hat hacker, and they changed their policies, or they don't think you're no longer allowed to like hack. Then you're still breaking the law, even though you haven't been notified. Step one is to get approval. Is what I did, as I said before, by just going to the headmaster and making some responsible disclosure deals. So the deals were that the test I do may not impact school's availability, so I may not like just destroy the network for the, just because I want to. Another one is that it may not be discussed with third parties while it's not fixed, except for my dad, because he was helping me with it. I mean, also needed to report everything directly to the school board, so I couldn't, for example, tell my friends that hey, I found this, but while it was still not fixed. So those are the responsible disclosure deals. Most websites, or not most, but a lot of websites have those on their on the bottom of the page, so you can just go there and see the deals. And if they don't, you can go to them yourself and see if you can make a deal there. So when you're testing stuff, so you got response, you got permission, you can do what you want, you can test around a bit. You got to really be careful that you don't break anything. So, for example, if you're messing around with Nmap or whatever, and you make a little mistake, then you're suddenly sending thousands upon thousands to package to the server, which could slow it down or break it. So you got to really be careful that you don't break anything, or that you don't mess up while you're testing stuff, because of course that will still break the deals, and you'll be in trouble. So one of the projects I did was I made a lunchbox using an Arduino, an SD card shield, a NFC reader, and an LCD screen. And if you combine all those things together, you get my lunchbox. My lunchbox is a device that I made to copy the school's key cards for the lockers. So it would copy the code that's on the passes, and then we just put them on the SD card so I could copy them to another pass when I was home. Another example of what I found at my school is that the PCs were unlocked in both ways, that you cannot lock them with Control L or Windows key L, which would usually give the normal the PCs lock their enter password to unlock screen, and that the BIOS was also open, so you could also boot with your own stick, which would also be a huge vulnerability. So you think, hey, might not be that big of a deal that I can't lock my PCs, because hey, worst thing that will happen is that they'll just go to my Facebook and post something weird about me or something. But that's not the case, because they can also just use Mimikatz, for example, and just get all the passwords from the from memory. So when you found your issue, when you found your vulnerability, you need to report it. When you report such an issue, you need to report the issue, the impact, and the fix. So in my case, with the school lockers, I did that by reporting, hey, I can find, I can copy the values of the key cards. The impact is that I can copy the cards and maybe put stuff into locker, or also take stuff out of it. And the fix would be that, well, to replace the entire locker system would be very, very expensive. So I suggested that I put on camera systems to make sure that wouldn't happen, which they did. And then you wait until it gets fixed. So after you found something, you reported it, everything's well and dandy. You still cannot go around telling, hey, I found this and I reported this, because it's not fixed yet. After that, it's this an optional part, the reward and the honor. So here on the left, you can see the I Hacked the Pentagon. All I got was this lousy t-shirt shirt. And on the right, you can see what I got, which was the voucher for cinema. And not really big, but I don't really care about the compensation. I do it for, well, I'll talk about it later. And after that, you just restart and find something else. Go check around, see what you can do. And as I mentioned before, once every while, just check if you can still do it. So to answer the question I asked in the first slide, why did I hack my school? I hacked my school to make it a safer place. So for example, those lockers, those key card mechanisms, for example, they could have been used against anybody in the school. They could have been used against me. People could have, like, for example, put fireworks into my locker And I would be sweeping the playground for the entirety of the summer vacation. But now that's impossible to do anymore, so I made school a safer place. What do I do to keep my knowledge up to date? I attend hacker camps, like the one we're at right now. Or here you can see CCC 32. Or, well, at the current state of the building is more like this. But I also share the knowledge I have. So as you see me doing right here, I give lectures at camps, at gatherings, like here on the left you can see me at ETH Zero, and on the right you can see me at a convention, a meeting by Deloitte. So now I'm going to give you guys some tips, maybe you already know them, but then you can give them to the relatives, about how to be more secure, how to not get hacked, basically. So tip 1 out of 8 might seem like an easy one, but don't forget to lock your PC. It's as easy as pressing Windows key L, and then when you come back, just enter your password. It's not that hard, and it can really save you a lot of work and hassle. Tip 2 out of 8 is do backup and unplug. So it's very important to make regular backup, because as you see, WannaCry that was released a few months ago, that would have that could have encrypted all of your files, or maybe it did, I don't know. So it's very important to make backups, so in just when that happens, that you're not that you didn't lose everything. And it's also important that you unplug the backup, because of course if you keep the backup into your in your computer, then it will just also encrypt the backup. Like, that won't help. And tip 3 is to update. So as I mentioned with the previous example, WannaCry. WannaCry could have been resolved if everybody just updated their damn PCs. I mean, the fix for WannaCry was released, I think, about 4 or 5 months before WannaCry was released. So if you just update it, it's like really important, because it can solve you a lot of work, and it can make your system a lot of safe place. So, and I'm not just talking about PCs. That you also need to update your phone, your car, your toaster, or whatever IoT stuff you're using. So tip 4 is have I been pwned? Haveibeenpwned.net, I think, is a great website where you can enter your email and see if it has already been hacked, if it's already been in a database online and your password is already on the street. So I just enter your password, enter your email there and see that if it has been hacked on one of the sites, I change that password, and anywhere else you use that same password. So tip 5 is simple and long is strong. So imagine you put a password like CD_B8, like all complex characters. If it's under 7 characters, it can be cracked within a second. However, if I put water bottle, dad, chair, dent, colleague as my password, it's a rememberable password. It's very long, so it will take quite a while for computers to crack. And it's a lot safer than all those garbled up passwords for a few characters. However, that can still be cracked with dictionary attacks, so I'd still use a password manager anyway, and only use Dutch passwords you can remember for the main password, and then use randomly generated passwords for everything else. So a password manager, for the people who don't know it, is a program which in which you can store all your passwords and then encrypt them when you're not, when you don't have it open, so it's secure. You of course need a password to get into your password manager, because else there will be no security. Tip 7 is to have fake answers. So for example, you know those websites that ask for security questions just in case you lose access to your email and you don't have your password? Like here you can see an example, what's the name of your first pet? The only issue would be that if your first pet was named Charlie and you have a Facebook page saying "Come home, Charlie," then it's not quite hard to then it's not quite that hard to guess your like your first dog's name was Charlie, and then it can just get access to your account. So what I would just do is select what's my mother's birthplace, and then I say in a teepee in the middle of nowhere in Afghanistan, and then save that inside of a password manager so that nobody can dox me and find out the answer to my security questions, because they're random then. And tip 8 out of 8 is to enable two-factor authentication. So you know how when you use mobile banking apps, it will always send you another message to your mobile phone with a time code you need to enter, because else it will be unsecure. So that's to make sure that when a hacker gets your password, he cannot access your account because they still need that extra code. And you can do that on more things that you could than you think, because you can also use it on Steam. I think Twitter has one too for Apple, of course, banking. A lot of things have two-factor authentication. So yeah, that's my talk. Are there any questions?
What would be your suggestions schools, to other schools, like this one was very open to you and helped you? What would be the suggestion to other schools?
I suggest schools, when the challenge comes towards you, don't block it out, but accept it, because it's not. It's very rare that you find such talents inside of your school, and that they're willing to help you, because of course. We're kids. We can also use it for bad purposes. So it really depends if you're using it if you're using it well or not. Of course, I recommend them to download responsible disclosure guidelines and then put them on their site, so that even when you don't go to a teacher or to the headmaster or anything, you still see that this school is open to responsible disclosure deals, and like they still do that. So yeah. Question over there.
Yeah. Thanks for your presentation. You mentioned that when you found a bug, you also have to announce the impact and also a fix.
Yes.
Has it ever happened that you didn't know the fix right away, so you knew that there was a bug for a while, and that you couldn't do anything yet because you were still looking for a fix?
No, not quite. Most of the things I found were quite obvious things, and they were quite easy to fix. So, no.
And what would you do, just your first idea, if it happened?
Well, most things that are vulnerable usually already have fixes to them, but if not, if I can't come up with one, I'd first Google around a bit, see if I can think of anything creatively. And yeah, if I really, really can't think of anything, I just... oh, whoops. Damn it. I just report it to whatever instance you're working for and say, I can't think of a fix. Have your IT guys work at it.
Thanks.
Anybody else?
I'm a teacher. If you were in my class, someone like you was in my class, is there something I really should do or should not do to motivate you or to help you?
Do what?
To motivate you or help you with your school as a teacher.
Yeah, sorry, I can't really hear well because...
I'm a teacher.
Yeah?
And if you were in my class,
yeah.
Is there something I really should do or should not do in order to help you with school or motivate you?
Yeah, sure. So he asked if I was at in his class, is there anything I could he could do to motivate me or help me with school, or is there anything he necessarily shouldn't do? Quite an interesting question. Haven't thought about that before. Do you mean like me or like hackers in general or programmers or what?
Like if you start with you, but you can also answer for in general.
What did your teacher do?
Well, for me it all started out with school when I was in math class, and I was usually finished with everything like half a year before the rest of the school, rest of the class was. So what he did was he invited me to a computer club that he set up himself, where he would teach other people programming. However, I also already knew that. So he then gave me a PC with Linux on it. Said I could wipe it and do whatever I want with it. So I put Kali Linux on that PC, and that's where it all started. Well, I think that if there's a huge problem that many people can use and they don't fix it, well, first of all, that would be their bad, because if it's very likely that people will use it, people eventually will use it, and then there with the problems. But yeah, I would just wait.
The question is really about, you know, you're not allowed to disclose it until they fix it. But if they don't fix it, how long do you wait until you warn the public that there's something that's happening to someone?
I haven't had that happen to me yet, but what I do is I'd clearly communicate to them that, hey, I found this. If you're not going to fix it, I'm going to give you a certain amount of time, so maybe a few weeks or a few months or maybe a year or whatever. If you haven't fixed it by then, I'm just going to release it to the public. Like, just give them a warning and tell that you will do it eventually. Fair enough. Well, I've had a very hard influence from, of course, you, because you work at a White Hacker. But I've also read Helping Hackers from Chris van der Hoff. Cross promo. But yeah, that also really helped me with knowing about responsible closure and staying on the good side. First of all, I think your school is very, very dumb. If you can access test and the answers, like, why would you not fix that? That's, like, one of the most important things. But second of all, I would send multiple emails to the school. I would not use it, because if you can't access something you're not supposed to access and you're using it, that would still be breaking the law. But I just keep on sending emails until they notice it. And, if they don't, you can send an email like after a few weeks, maybe half a year, like, hey, you haven't done anything about it. I'm going to give you this much time and then I'm going to disclose it to the public. So if I you, I would have it fixed by then. That's something like that. I just go to the newspaper and say, hey, I've hacked this company or whatever, and there's an error, and then don't disclose what error it is, because then of course people could use it and say they haven't fixed it yet and see what the newspaper does with it. Thank you.